Well, it's 11:30, so why don't we get started? So good afternoon, or good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. With our remote meetings, there is a preamble I need to read, so please bear with me. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. Now I'd like to do a roll call of our board members. My name is Peter Lisi. Obviously, I am present. Bettina Brown Eyes.
Here.
Thank you, Bettina. Marty Budd.
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster.
Here.
Thank you. Michael Azzotti. No. Carrie Kelly. Julie Savino? Not yet. Laura Baker? Laura? Is Kelly Marie on? No? And Jeanette Weldon?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Individuals are asked to state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. Votes will be taken by roll call, unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or an email advising whether, number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. So with that, I'd like to get right into our agenda. First item is a review and hopefully acceptance of the minutes from our January 26th meeting. And I'm hoping that people take some time to review them. And would anyone like to move acceptance of the minutes?
Peter, do we have a quorum?
I believe we do. Myself, you.
Yeah, there's Andrew. Five.
Yeah, oh, there are five. Okay, good. I'll move approval of the minutes as presented.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
I'll second, Andrew.
Thank you. It's been motions been made and seconded to accept the minutes from January 26th as presented. Any discussion, comments, edits, or clarifications to the minutes? Hearing none, all those
I actually have one.
Yes, Bettina.
This is Bettina, super in the weeds on the scholarship program, the third bullet. I think it should be called Duncan Park instead of Dunkin' Donuts Park.
Yes, you're right. It changed its name, didn't it?
Yep.
Okay, anything else? Okay, so the motion's been made and seconded to accept the minutes. There's been one clarification to strike the word donuts in the third bullet under the scholarship program. With that editing, I'd call for a vote. All those in favor of accepting the minutes with that one edit, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. The motion carries unanimously. And thank you, Bettina, for that very thorough reading of the minutes. All right. Next item of business, I would turn it over to Jeanette and Josh to walk us through the memo on the refinancing program and resolution.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So I'll get us started on page 11 of the board package with the background of the refi program and how we got to this point. So Chisel's refinance program was created in 2016 to provide a reasonably priced refinancing option for existing student loan debt. The program has been structured to refinance both federal and private student loans. And thus far to date, borrowers have been reducing their loan rates by an average of 2 percentage points. Initial funding for the Refi CT program came from a $5.5 million transfer from CSLF. And that initially funded the program. The program, unlike our in-school program, uses credit score tiers to set the loan interest rates. across three different repayment terms of 5, 10, and 15 years. The current offering has been fixed rates ranging from 3.75% fixed to 4.99% fixed. Again, unlike in school loans with tax-exempt financing, the tax treatment of bonds used to fund refinance loans is less straightforward. At issue is whether or not the loans being refinanced did not exceed the cost of education. When we started the refinance program in 2016, we were initially requiring school certification proof from the applicant that the underlying loans did not exceed the net cost of education. However, this was a significant barrier for refinance volume, as this information was not easily obtainable for the applicant, either via the loan servicer or the school. So we then made the decision to remove the school certification component and rely solely on self-certification from the borrower, which is noted in the promissory note. The industry approach has been to issue taxable bonds to fund refinance loans. In 2019, we issued $5 million of taxable bonds under the 2019 trust with the 2019 Series A. However, with the higher loan rates that were needed to support the more costly taxable debt, the originations for the program were slowed. And in November 2021, we ended up using $710,000 of remaining bond proceeds to redeem some of the outstanding taxable bonds. Basically, we were not able to get all those loan proceeds out the door. Since that date, funding for the program has continued through cash transfers from CSLF, enabling us to fund the loans off of our balance sheet. Additionally, with the start of the pandemic and the associated federal loan relief, which included no payments and a 0% interest rate, this also contributed to the slower originations for the program. So in December 2021, we decided, again, because we were now funding the program through CSLF and not tied to taxable bond debt, we decided to reduce the loan rate on all refi CT originations. And that at that time is when we changed the rates to the 3.75% fixed to 4.99% fixed across all repayment terms, which is the rate we carried until recently. Last year, as the pandemic began to subside and inflation spiked, the Federal Reserve began to rate tighten. However, CHESL decided to maintain its loan rates, which ended up becoming significantly below market, which then resulted in a rapid increase in loan volume growth for the refinance program because of the very advantageous rates. And so due to that significant increase in volume and with limited dollars available to continue to fund refinance loans, CHESL closed the refinance loan application on March 7th with the intention of reopening the refinance application in May once we determined the best avenue to secure funding for the program. So that's it for the background. I'll now turn it to Jeanette for our proposal for future funding.
Thanks, Josh. So what we're trying to do is to identify a viable funding source for refi that allows for, you know, a right-sized program. So given the current state of federal loans and payment pauses, loan forgiveness, and all of that, the expectation is, yeah, that's going to be potential refi volume that's kind of lost to us. And but nevertheless, we do think there is a market for a, you know, smaller sized refi loan program where we would still be focusing on refinancing other private loans. And it could be, you know, Sallie Mae loans or other loans that still carry high loan rates where it's beneficial for a borrower to look at a refinancing. So we're trying to find a mechanism that can provide a viable source of loan funding and allow us to create a right-sized program with loan rates that, you know, are competitive, certainly relative to for-profit lenders, but we don't want to end up in a situation where we're, you know, so far below market that, you know, there's kind of, you know, that there's where it's creating demand that otherwise wouldn't be there. Or also, you know, if we are then trying to use these loans in any sort of trust scenario, we're effectively, as rates rise, devaluing the value of that asset because it's not at market. So what we are proposing in the near term is to, again, get some funding from CSLF. And so we are looking at $3 million of funding from CSLF that would be derived from a combination of dollars available from the trust and dollars that are available from the operating account of CSLF that would come over, that would be used to fund refi loans that would be set at loan rates, as we've talked about, that are, you know, competitive, not substantially below market rates, but competitive. And then after we have made those loans, and then we know, you know, we have a clear sense of, we know what the loan volume is, we will then, you know, presumably in a year's time, seek to have some sort of direct placement with a type of financing where we can then say, you know, we have a portfolio of $2.5 million of refi loans that we want to use as collateral for some financing. And so then we would not be putting ourselves in the position of overborrowing and then having to redeem from proceeds because we couldn't make the loans, because we would already be, we'd only be borrowing against loans that we have already made. And then as we borrow, then we have those borrowed dollars or, you know, direct placement dollars that we can then use to make new refi loans. So we think that this is a strategy, and obviously the whole structure of how that financing, direct placement with a bank, or how that financing might look is something, you know, that's to be determined. But we think it gives us the ability to have, you know, to right size the program and still have a source of funding where we're not totally reliant on transfers from CSLF. So with that, we would also, we think it's important to for management to have the flexibility as we're making these loans that are, you know, not that are outside the trust. We think it's important for management to have the flexibility to be able to keep the refi loan rates at a market level, so that if we need to, you know, change them at the 6 month mark, we can reset the loan rates so that at the point when we're trying to use them as collateral, they're not being devalued. You know, we're sort of keeping up with the market, so we're not having a portfolio of all loans that are now well below market in terms of their value because interest rates have gone up. So that is the concept that we are proposing that we think will allow us to have a program that will still meet the needs of Connecticut graduates and still allow them to have debt that is manageable or make their debt more manageable for them, but also make the program one that is more manageable and sustainable from our perspective.
I have some questions and comments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First, a very creative and admirable memo and proposal, typical of the staff. What I don't remember ever seeing default rates on the refi loan. Can you tell us what the default rates are on the refi loans?
Yeah, Marty, they're very low. I think it's in the board package. Yeah,
is that on all those are on all refi loans or only current ones or only the ones where made with proceeds of a bond issue? We've had several different kinds of refi loans.
Right. So the default rate of refi loans historically total, whether in the trust or out of a trust, has been 1.52% through December. 1.8% for loans part of the 2019 resolution, and less than 1% for the loans outside of the trust. So very low historical default rates.
Thank you. Now, is the 2019 trust issue totally gone, or do we still have outstanding bonds on that issue?
The 2019 issue as of December had $1.95 million outstanding in bonds.
And we pledge the refi loans that we made with our own money to that trust, or it just the ones that were originated with the proceeds?
I believe, and Judith can feel free to chime in. I'm getting a little feedback, but I believe in 2019, $7 million of refi loans to that 2019 deal, some towards the tax exempt portion, and some towards the taxable portion.
So it is extra collateralized with more than bonds originated with proceeds.
Correct.
Yep.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
No problem.
Chair Lisi, this is, for the record, Tim Webb, Senior Vice President for Hilltop and your financial advisor. Marty, refi loans are traditionally not, across the entire United States, refi loans are considered to be better credit quality. You're providing a loan that's a credit-based loan. You're looking at FICO scores to people that have actually received their degree or they're out of school. So their loans perform very well. One other comment I'd like to make relative to this is that your competitors, whether they are not-for-profit lenders such as Chesler or they're for-profit lenders such as the Sallie Mae or some of the other bank entities, they look to adjust these rates on a regular basis. The for-profit may adjust their rates on a weekly basis, even more often than that, to keep up with what the current interest rate environment is. So in order for Chesler to be able to offer a product that is a good product for their borrowers, but also to be cognizant of where interest rates are, they need to be able to make some of those changes as well. So one of the gauges is to see how quickly the loans are coming in. And as Josh referenced, there was a big influx of loans because the market rate was higher than what Chesler was offering. So everybody was flocking to Chesler. So this is a way to manage your assets by being able to adjust the loan rate to reflect what's going on in the current market. The other piece of news that I will indicate, and we don't have a definitive on this, but behind the scenes, people have been working to get the IRS to make an announcement or to clarify some of the language relative to the ability to finance refi loans on a tax-exempt basis. We're hopeful that might occur. There has been some movement behind the scenes. We don't know if it will, but if it did, it would then allow CHESLA to finance these on a tax-exempt basis, which would be lovely to occur. But again, that's down the road. We don't have any definitive answer at this point. Thank you.
And I also want to acknowledge the input of Tim as financial advisor in the development of our, you know, proposed recommendation for going forward.
Marty, Bud, Tim, in your discussions or industry discussions with the IRS, hopefully they will also focus on self-certification of cost of education. That would be an important part of any amendment to make these tax exempt. But even if you couldn't get the tax exemption, getting a ruling that self-certification by the borrower would be helpful.
That is the issue. The tax issue revolves around the fact that the loan cannot exceed the cost of education less other financial aid, and it has to be certified, or it should be certified by the school. So relying on a self-certification, I think, may be a leap too far for the IRS, but we'll see what happens. To the extent that we could finance these tax exempt, it would really help everybody that offers these for the not-for-profits, but would surely help Josh and Jeanette because your cost of funds would be significantly below what you would if you had to finance it on a taxable basis.
But again, I'll move the resolution on page 13 of the materials.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second? I'm happy to second it. We've had a little bit of discussion, but are there any further questions, comments?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bettina.
This is Bettina. I have a question. Maybe a silly one, but is there any reason or thought to ever repay the $3 million back to the Student Loan Foundation, or is this just always a one-way transfer of funds?
So when Connecticut's Student Loan Foundation became a subsidiary of CHIFA, which I believe was in 2015, so CHESLA was deemed a subsidiary in 2012, and then in 2015, CSLF became a subsidiary. And at that time, it was written into statute that dollars can flow out of CSLF and land with CHESLA for purposes of, you know, financing and refinancing student education. And so given that these are dollars which, you know, Hilltop has done a cash flow, and we have a comfort level that these are dollars that are in fact excess dollars that will not be needed by CSLF. The plan is then, and historically the approach has been, these dollars flow to CHESLA and then they stay with CHESLA because they are being used for student education finance purposes.
Marty, Bud again. Bettina, historic CSLF in effect is out of business. All it's doing is paying off its bonds. So the thought was, as the cash flow accumulates over time, CHESLA can put that money to good use. So CSLF is really out of the loan business,
okay,
making loans. And so this was the Connecticut government's view. Why don't we use the runoff through CHESLA for good purposes?
Very smart. Okay, great. Thank you.
Chair Lisa, if I may, one other piece. Hi, Bettina. It's been 30 years since we've talked.
It's been a long time, Tim. Good to see you, too.
It's good to see you as well. Bettina and I used to work together back on Wall Street years ago. One of the things that we would anticipate doing with this patina is that I believe that we've got an inducement resolution. I know we don't need that for a taxable issue, but perhaps if we do get the ability to finance these on tax exempt, the anticipation would be that these loans that are made with the $3 million would then be sold into a financing, and then that money, the proceeds of that sale, would then go back onto Chesla's balance sheet to continue making more loans. So it's not going away. It's going to be recycled.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just wasn't sure if there was a need to have it ever go back. And again, I'm new, so I'm just trying to get caught up. Thank you.
No, good question. Good question. CSLF is basically in a runoff mode.
Got it.
Yeah, and Andrew Foster, I think Tim just answered my question. And then I guess my other thought was around, is there a loan index that this sort of is based on? Is probably not a relevant question, just because if the way we're packaging the loan is ultimately for sort of resale eventually, takes some calculation then on your part in terms of what's the best rate based on market.
So we would be looking at, it's not tied to an index, but we'd be looking at, where loan rates are. So we'd be looking at what are our competitors charging, you know, what is the prevailing level of rates in the market. Tim, do you want to add anything there?
No, I think that's it. At least Hilltop, routinely takes a look at what the market is doing with regard to refi loans. I provided some information to Josh and Jeanette of what some of the for-profit competitors are doing in the Northeast. So we would be looking at that, and then also looking at general funding levels for a taxable type of transaction to get an idea on what would be quote unquote in the market. You don't want to be making a loan that if you tried to finance today is, you know, worth 80 cents on the dollar. That would be the concern. So we look at that, but there's no direct index that we're tying these to.
Thank you, Tim. Anyone else? Any further questions, comments with regard to the resolution? Anyone? Well, the motion's been made and seconded. If there's no further discussion, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation as outlined in the resolution in your meeting book regarding the refi program, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Jeanette, for your work on that. Thank you all. Next item are the financials. Carly?
Thank you. This is Carly Levin. I'm going to start on page 17 of the in the board packet. This will take a look at the agency's income statement. For the 6 months ending December 31st, 2022, revenues over expenses before non-operating income and expenses were $174,679. And revenues over expenses after non-operating income and expenses were $194,124. Total year-to-date revenues were $237 over budget, and total year-to-date expenses were $29,600 under budget. If there's no questions, I'll move on to our other programs and our bond funds. Let's look at our bond funds first on page 22 of the packet. So the total change in net position for the 2019 resolution before transfers is an increase of $168,408. And total change in net position before the transfers, or I'm sorry, after the transfers, is an increase of $179,408. On November 15th, just to make a note, $4,440,000 we redeemed with excess revenues from the 2019A, 2019B, and the 2020 C bond, I'm sorry, B bond. And we are currently reviewing to see if we can, again, redeem additional bonds with excess revenue for the May 15th payment. Again, if there's no questions, I'll move on to the last section, which is our other program on page 25 in the board packet. So first we have our scholarship fund. So the total change in that position for this quarter was a decrease of $1,668. And that decrease was due to additional scholarship disbursements. And that was using funds that were previously returned to us. The total change in net position for the non-bond refi program was a decrease of $36,913. And that was due to the allowance for loan loss expense. And finally, the allowance district teacher loan subsidy program, the total change in net position was an increase of $25,961. That's all I have, unless there's questions regarding anything.
Any questions for Carly? Anything?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carly. All right. Next item, we have a couple of reports. Jeanette, would you like to start with the authority update?
Yes, thanks, Peter. I wanted to start with the strategic plan status report. So Kara, if you can display the slides. And in your board package, there was a lengthier overview of the sort of 7 months of the first 7 months of this fiscal year with regard to the strategic plan and some of the achievements that Chesla has made. And for purposes of the meeting, I have sort of distilled it into five slides, which really just hit some of the highlights. And before we get into the slides, I do want to acknowledge all of the hard work and creativity and dedication of the Chesla staff. So Josh Hannon and Yesenia have been very focused, and it shows in some of the things that have been achieved relative to the strategic plan. So if you want to go to the first slide, as I think, you know, just to refresh for everybody, we have our five strategic pillars that are noted in the more complete report that's in the board package. Our strategic plan is a joint strategic plan for CHIFA and Chesla. So both entities, and some of the things in here, you know, are referencing CHIFA as well, but both entities are operating with those same strategic pillars and same values. And then of course we have separate missions and visions. But with regard to collaboration, Chesla has been very busy thus far this fiscal year. Some of the notable things are with regard to the employer student loan repayment program. Josh has done some work and also pulling in Dan Gingy, our communications and government affairs specialist, with Connecticut Innovations and DECD to broaden the awareness of the employer student loan repayment program. Josh, did you want to just touch on what went on there?
I don't have too much to add. I would just say that Chesla and Rizla did a webinar through Connecticut Innovations that they then shared to their portfolio companies.
Right. And then also the commissioner of DECD sent out a communication to Connecticut companies. Is that correct, Josh?
I was working with DECD on sending that out. I did not get confirmation yet that it has been sent out, but that is forthcoming.
And then we have also been working with the Office of Workforce Strategy to determine, you know, if there's potential for kind of a 0% interest revolving loan fund to support acquiring certificate credentials for specific workforce needs. So it's really kind of in the exploratory phase, but we have a good, you know, we've established a good working relationship with some of the staff at OWS. And then
Jeanette, Marty Budd, in that item that you just discussed, are you including the commercial driver's license program?
That's sort of the starting premise of it, yes. That's what OWS has been charged to do.
Right. It seems to me we might be able, I don't know how much funds needed for that, but it would seem to me Tesla could do this without the workforce, Office of Workforce Strategy. I wouldn't think it's a lot of money, or would they be upset if we said, all right, look, we'll go ahead with this with our own money?
So there is existing legislation that I think got passed last session. So there's existing bill, you know, a statute at this point, I guess, that creates this program specific to the commercial driver's licenses. It speaks to the availability potentially of dollars from the state. So what's happening now is OWS trying to work through the requirements as stated in that existing legislation. And then we are, you know, seeing if there are ways that we can, you know, further that effort, support it, or create a structure that could be brought into other types of certificates. So the fundamental structure has already been established pursuant to this earlier legislation that passed, I think, last year.
What is their timeline? Because the need for drivers around the country, and certainly in the Northeast, is significant. And I don't know how efficient that office is.
Well, Laura Baker is a member. OWS is a member of the Tesla board. So I don't know if Laura is still on the...
I'm here, Jeanette.
I don't know if you have any awareness of this that you can, if you want to speak to it.
Sure. We are certainly tackling the problem from multiple angles. And I do, Marty, you know, if Tesla could take it on, we would certainly, I think, ask for their support in full. But there is a legislative statute that does mandate that we do require taking part of our bond dollars and dedicating it to these efforts. The timeline is quite short, stating that the design of the program needs to be by, I believe, July 1 of this year. There is new legislation that has been proposed to push that timeline. And we've spoken with the legislators as well, because we want to make sure that we're designing it in a proper manner. With response to the great need for the CDL drivers, OWS received $70 million in ARPA funding, of which a great portion of that has been dedicated to CDL drivers. So to support that as well. This career accelerator program that Jeanette is speaking about is piloting and starting with CDL, but we do wish to expand it further on to other industries. It just, CDL was the the jumping off point for us.
So you think by the end of the year, we'll have driver's license, a commercial driver's license program up and running?
A commercial driver's license program is already up and running, just not through this particular mechanism at the time. We are paying for it in full, actually, through federal funds, through American Rescue Plan. Through this program, it's going to take a little bit longer because I believe there needs to be legislation that needs to be updated in order to operationalize this even further.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. Happy to have further discussion with you. We always appreciate more expertise and insight.
Thanks, Laura. And then lastly, we've been doing a lot of collaborating with legislators as they look at new initiatives. And this is something Dan Gengi is going to touch on at the end, later in the agenda with the legislative update. So going to the next slide, again, broaden, assess, and communicate Tesla's impact. So I'm sure most of you will recall last fall, we heard about the economic impact analysis that that Chesla had done, and the impact is significant, as was reported to the board previously. The Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program launched. There have been ongoing outreach efforts that continue. Josh has been doing a lot with reaching out to school districts and various associations, and we're hoping to continue to get the word out. It's really been a slow response to the program in terms of volume. So we're really hoping to have some significant growth there. We've also had various media mentions. We had a couple of TV segments relative to Chesla on NBC Connecticut and WFSB, already mentioned OWS, and Josh, Shannon, and Yesenia do quite a bit of work on and outreach with college fairs, financial aid nights, which are all about building awareness of Chesla. Next slide. Technology, these are really things that have been done for CHIFA overall. So it's just further enhancing some of our security provisions. One thing to keep in mind from a security perspective for Chesla, you know, the bulk of our personal information is actually with our originator or servicer. We receive the SOC audit reports from them regularly. So we have their auditors who have signed off on the security features of their system. So we're comfortable that data with regard to Chesla borrowers is secure. Next slide. And then lastly, this is kind of combining a couple things, but organizational identity, culture, and sustainability. Diversity, DEI is one of our aspects of our culture and identity. The underwriting team for Chesla's financing last year included both a minority and a woman-owned firm. And then we also had the day of service is something that is done jointly, Chesla and CHIFA. So last October, we did a cleanup activity at the Salvation Army Child Care Center in Hartford. Ethics training is annual, and then clean independent audit. So the audit, as you know, is part of CHIFA's audit, but clean opinion there with no management letter. So those are the highlights of the status report. Like I said, the what's in the board package is more detailed. But again, just want to thank the Chesla staff for all of their hard work thus far this year. Are there any questions at this point?
Questions?
Otherwise, the only other thing I wanted to mention just as an update is we are in the midst of our spring financing and, you know, work, the planning and development of the spring financing. We will be scheduling or seeking to schedule a special board meeting on April 4th at 2:00 for approval of the transaction. That's the time when we think we will have, you know, the documentation prepared, the cash flows in order, et cetera. That would be a virtual meeting consistent with what we've done in the past with a special meeting to approve the bond transaction. The schedule right now calls for the bonds to be sold on April 26th and close on May 10th.
Then Marty, but we used up all of the existing bond funds for loans.
Yes, all of the bond funds have been committed. Yep.
All right. So what are you thinking about an amount, or maybe you haven't got that far?
For size?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's the sizing of the deal. Judith, there's Sandy can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's a little less than 30 million, including the scarf, the the inducement resolution, and the expected funding needed for the upcoming year.
Yeah, Marty, again, this is Tim Webb, for the record. We're currently structuring about $25 million of loanable proceeds. So the sizing of the issue will be a function of providing Tesla with $25 million that would go into the origination account. So right now it's somewhere just north of $26
million. And how much loans did we create in the last year? Was it up to $25 million? I can't remember.
In this past year, I believe we're currently through today up to like $20 million so far.
Plus more committed, as you said?
Correct.
So you think $25 million can be put out over 12 months?
Yeah, but again, I believe some of that $25 million is the reimbursement of proceeds back to Chesla.
So there are some loans that were made off balance sheet, Marty, that will be acquired with some of the proceeds. So you'll have loans immediately going into the trust.
I see. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for Jeanette? Anything? All right. Josh, can you give us a portfolio update?
Sure. Thanks, Peter. So I'll start on page 56 of the package, the loan disbursement data. So for the second quarter, the Chesla in-school program disbursed about $1.7 million. $722,000 of that was for students attending Connecticut institutions, and a little less than $1 million disbursed to students attending an out-of-state institution. Through the second quarter, fiscal 23 has disbursed about $9.6 million, which represents a $1.8 million or 22% increase compared to fiscal 22 through the second quarter. So volume has been doing well. Moving on to page 58 of the package, I just wanted to touch on the market segment data for the schools.
Excuse me for a second, Josh. So yeah. You think another 11 or 12 or more million dollars would be put out in this quarter and next quarter, right?
Yeah, it's actually not that I think. I can tell you that has occurred up and through today's date.
Good. Thank you.
Yep. So moving to page 58, we have the market segment data for the schools. I just want to mention status quo at the top for the top three schools, UConn, Sacred Heart, and Quinnipiac. And then you'll note the column to the right. I've showed a comparison of each school's volume compared to fiscal 22 through quarter two. Most of the schools we've seen an increase in volume. So moving on to page 59, we have the 22B comparison to the cash flow assumptions. Through February, we're about $1 million ahead of the cash flow assumptions. As Marty asked earlier, all bond proceeds have been committed for the series. You may be wondering why the gross actual disbursements exceed the total cash flow assumptions, and that there's committed loan applications pending. That's because the gross actual disbursements would not include any refunds that have been received and then reissued for the loans. So again, 22B is ahead of the assumptions, and all of the proceeds for the series have been committed. Moving on to page 60, we move to the Refi CT program. The second quarter disbursed about $1.5 million. As you can see, it's unequivocally the highest second quarter ever, primarily due to the low loan rates of the refi program. This represents a $1.4 million or 161% increase through quarter two compared to last year. Continuing to move on, we'll just move to page 64 of the board package. This starts the Alliance District data for the ADTLS program for the quarter. That information is shown on pages 64 through 70. Again, this information is just representing the second quarter. However, I wanted to mention through December, and Jeanette kind of touched on this with the strategic plan update. The originations for the Alliance program have been a little bit slow. We've dispersed about $370,000, impacting 18 teachers. However, I would say the impact of the program is there. Teachers are on average reducing their interest rate by 4.56%. And the weighted average subsidized rate for the program is 1.46%. I would also mention too, with the interest rate environment continuing to increase, we don't have any plans to change the rate for the Alliance District program. So these rates will be even more attractive for the teachers. The subsidized rates range from 0.75% to 2.49%. So again, the impact's there, the rates are very low, and we're just trying to continue to market the program through the districts and SDE to get the word out and have more teachers take advantage of the program.
Josh, Marty, but again, on the next page, there are...
Marty, can before we leave that page, can I ask a question of Josh? Josh,
yeah.
Why do you think that Stratford Public Schools is just so low in comparison to everybody else?
I'm not sure. And quite honestly, there's some districts where, you know, I reached out to do a presentation for the districts, and there's some districts we don't have any applications from. So
wow.
I think we've done our due diligence trying to reach out to every district specifically, but some of the departments and districts are just not responsive, which is unfortunate. On the other end of it, there's districts such as East Hartford and recently Meriden, where they're kind of championing the program because they see the benefit for their teachers. The hope is, I believe right now, is the start of the recruiting season for SDE for new teachers. And the hope is that they will continue to get this information out to supplement our marketing efforts of the program as well.
Right.
And, doing things like, you know, we communicating with the union to say, you know, get this out to your membership, that kind of thing. So we're trying to use as many avenues as we can think of, as you know, as well as working with SDE.
Great, thank you.
My question was on the next page. Why are districts refusing applications? What kind of reasons do they give?
So it's I guess to clarify, I think you're looking at page 65, applications denied.
Right.
And maybe the wording needs to change here, but it's not districts denying the application. It is teachers from those districts applying for the program and then not meeting the underwriting criteria.
Thank you. And from the titles of the next pages, does the money go to the district and then the district gives it to the teacher? Because you say... amount dispersed by employer.
Again, I'm open to changing the wording there. So we're not dispersing to the district. It's a refinance loan. So we're dispersing to the loan servicer of the underlying loans. I think what we're just trying to show here is, of the loans that dispersed for that quarter, what districts the volume was pertaining to.
Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Any other questions?
Nope.
All right, thank you.
Is that it, Josh?
Yeah, I think that's it for me.
Okay, thank you. Shannon, marketing update?
Sorry, I'm muted. So page 75, we're gonna start with an overview of CT dollars and cents. Our continued goals is just to keep building awareness to the financial literacy portal. So this is a comparison from July 1 through December 22 in that previous year. So new visitors to the site increased by over 25%. We had a total of over 1,300 visits to the site with over 2,500 page views. Just means that they're interacting with the website more, looking around, getting the resources they need. Number of sessions per user increased by over 6% from the year prior. And then the bounce rate decreased by 43%, which just means, again, the users are spending more time on the site and engaging with the resources that are on the site. All of this information is from Google Analytics, us tracking our website. Any questions on that? Next slide is our CHESL website overview. Again, the goal is just continued awareness and also to continue to increase loan volume, which I can say it's happened at this point. So we saw over 35,000 new visitors to the CHESL website, and this is over the same time period. And we saw over 218,000 page views. And then the sessions per visitor, which is the time they spent on our website, increased by over 23% from the year prior. And then our bounce rate decreased by 32%, which is still good because they do leave our website once they apply for the student loan application. So the fact that they're spending more time and engaging with our website and our resources is a plus. Next slide. And then our continued marketing outreach. We attended CAPFA in December. We hosted a financial aid night in Montville High School in December as well. We presented at Career Beginnings and the Hartford Consortium for Higher Education in December. We continued outreach for all CHESL programs through TV, radio, digital, social media, and more. I think we had a couple more outreach events in January as well. I know we did Litchfield, that's not mentioned here, but we've continued through the winter part to get to as many schools as possible. And then the next slide, 78, just showcases some, I don't know what the word is because I can't remember, but some premium sporting events that we've been able to have our commercial in. Big one being in the Super Bowl and pre-games for some big games. So all things are a plus in regards to getting our brand awareness out there for CHESL. Let me know if you guys have any questions.
Questions for Shannon? All right.
Thank you.
Well done, Shannon. Thank you. And Yesenia on the scholarship update.
Yeah, hi everyone. Just a quick update on scholarship. Friendly reminder that our certificate scholarship has been closed for this fiscal year since January. So we had success sending out the $30,000 that we allocated for that program. So the next time we open that scholarship will be July 1st. Now the undergraduate scholarship has opened as of March 1st. Shannon and I have reached out. Shannon has sent out social media reminders, and I have sent out emails to universities and colleges in Connecticut, as well as high school guidance counselors to remind them of our scholarship. Just to give you some context, so far we have had 200, and well, right now we have 261 application drafts and 32 applications that have been submitted. So right now I have been reviewing those submitted applications and making sure students are meeting the requirements to be eligible, as well as sending them emails, reaching out to them if they have not completed all of their documents and if they're missing any documents. I will continue to do this until the deadline of May 1st, and then we'll move on to the evaluation with the committee, and you'll hear more about that in our next meeting. And that's pretty much it. Are there any questions?
Questions for Yesenia?
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is a report by the consultant vendor committee. Prior to the board meeting, the consultant vendor committee met to evaluate the responses to two different RFPs, and selections were made, and now the recommendations are coming to the full board for the board's approval. The first vendor who we discussed was Bond Counsel. Six firms responded to the RFP. Staff recommended appointing Pullman and Comley based on several criteria, primarily their experience, their track record, and their previous counsel to Chesla. Staff's recommendation was approved unanimously by the consultant vendor committee, and I would entertain a motion by the board to accept the committee's recommendation.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Okay,
it's been moved and seconded to accept the committee's recommendation on the selection of Pullman and Comley, or the recommendation for Pullman and Comley to act as bond counsel. Are there any questions for myself or any other committee member that was at the committee meeting? Questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the committee's recommendation to retain Pullman and Comley for a period of 3 years as bond counsel, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes, thank you. And the second item of business for the vendor consultant committee was selection for a loan collection servicer. Again, there were three companies that responded to the RFP. Staff recommended the appointment. Staff recommended the appointment of CCA, which they were previously known as CCA. That's how many of the committee members might know them, but now they are Transworld Systems. They've been the servicer to Chesla for several years. The staff is very, very pleased with the service provided to them. And it was the unanimous recommendation of the consultant committee to retain Transworld again. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, but first let's get a motion out there. Would someone like to move acceptance of the committee's recommendation to appoint Transworld Systems for the loan collection servicer? Is there a motion?
So moved. So moved.
Okay. All right. I think we've got a motion and a second. Thank you, Marty and Julie. Okay. Are there any questions for myself or anyone else on the committee with regard to that recommendation? Questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the consultant vendors committee's recommendation to appoint Transworld Systems as the loan collection servicer, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion carries unanimously. And Dan Junji will provide a legislative update.
Thanks, Peter. So there are five key items that I wanted to touch on with respect to pending legislation impacting Chesla. There are four bills that have been introduced this session that seek to mirror our Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program. Three of those bills have been introduced in the Higher Education Committee. Bill 5437 would establish a loan subsidy program for first responders. 5441 would establish a loan subsidy program for what it refers to as high demand professions. These are mostly focused in the field of healthcare. And Senate Bill 8 would also establish a loan subsidy program, again, for what the language refers to as high demand professions. But Senate Bill 8 would require that those professions be identified by OWS in consultation with CHESLA. The fourth bill that seeks to mirror our Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program is House Bill 6689. This one was introduced in the Banking Committee, and it would establish a loan subsidy program for healthcare workers. The last item that I wanted to touch on is House Bill 5233. This is a proposal, again, that was introduced in the Higher Education Committee, and it would require CHESLA to establish an income-driven repayment plan that its borrowers could elect to participate in. At this point, all of these bills have been voted out of the committee. They're currently awaiting action in their respective chambers, but we're actively engaged in conversations with the proponents of the legislation to ensure that if any of these items pass, they're drafted in a way that comports with CHESLA's framework and operations. We're happy to keep you updated of any developments as the session progresses. Thank you.
And also, I'll just add, we're also heavily emphasizing with all of these legislators as we speak with them that these proposals need to be funded with state dollars, that CHESLA is not in a position to fund these programs. And obviously, you know, depending on what passes, you know, there could be, you know, we'll also have to address potential administrative burden type of thing. But yeah, we're making that point very clear. So hopefully that will be acknowledged.
Marty Budd, were we the proposers of these bills, or did somebody else propose them, like the firefighters, the healthcare workers?
There's a handful of individual legislators that have co-sponsored these bills. There's some overlap between the legislators that have co-sponsored, you know, each of the bills. But yeah, it's been mostly it's legislators that have introduced them.
And the administrative burden is an issue that's quite important to us. I don't know, Jeanette, what your plans are for dealing with all of these. You know, I saw five pages on Alliance program, doing that for three or four other types of workers. I would think you might have to hire somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, that would be certainly a possibility. The way the Alliance District program is written is that the dollars from the state are available not only to fund the loans, but also to cover CHESLA's costs of running the program. So to the extent that we needed to potentially, you know, add staff, then that would be a cost of running the program, which would be funded, you know, which, you know, ultimately could have that flow through. I mean, I think we'd want to think it through carefully so that it doesn't, you know, there aren't other unintended consequences, so to speak. But yeah, it's structured so that CHESLA's costs would be covered.
So I take it we're going to make that clear to the committees or the legislature as they consider this.
Well, we've made it clear that CHESLA doesn't have the financial wherewithal to fund or to be out of pocket substantial sums of money in connection with these proposals,
including a staff.
Well, we're saying including costs is that way generically speaking to it. Yeah.
Jeanette, has there been a study regarding the appropriations needed or the funds needed to be able to fund these individual programs as to what they're looking for in terms of subsidy for this?
Right. Not that I'm aware of. Dan, do you have any?
No, at this point, no one has, none of the proponents have presented, to us at least, a study that outlines the funds that would be needed to implement the program.
Right. And some of the proposals are pretty bare bones. I mean, it's like a paragraph. We're viewing it as, emphasizing, and they're not currently worded to even really address the funding aspect, are they, Dan?
They do include language with respect to the funding component that mirrors what we have in our Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy legislation.
Okay. Which is that it comes from the state.
Correct.
It comes from the state, but we don't know how much of that they would fund or when they would fund it in what year of the biennial or wherever it might even occur. So they could potentially, so Dan, what you're thinking is they could potentially pass a bill, but not have any support to fund it.
I would have to go back and just double check, but I believe the way it's written, it would make the programs dependent on available funding. I think most likely when we've had discussions, especially with respect to the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program, the supplemental funding mechanism that we talked about was, bonding from the state. So they could pass a bill that establishes the program, but then not the bonding component.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
This is Tim again, for the record, Hilltop. A lot of state legislators have been very interested in the concept of IBR because it's been in the news so much with regard to the Biden administration and the direct loan program. The big difference between the direct loan program and all of the not-for-profit loan originators around the country is that you lack the ability to print money. And without the ability to print money, you have a difficulty in offering an IBR program because the loans may or may not pay off. And that is a very difficult thing to do from a financing perspective, being able to provide the security necessary to issue bonds when you have no idea on whether you're going to receive any income off those loans.
Yeah. Good point. Okay. Anything else for Dan? Anything? All right. I believe that brings us to the end of the formal agenda, unless there's any other new business anyone would like to bring forward.
Peter, I did just want to mention one thing, and that is to acknowledge the years of service of Judith Blank, who is going to be retiring. And Judith is really the institutional memory at this point of CHESLA, because at one point even served in kind of a general counsel function. So it's been decades, right, Judith? I'm not sure exactly when those decades started, but it's been a long time. And all of your support and input has been extremely valuable, and your institutional memory. I mean, we just recently, I think, asked you, well, how was this structured 20 years ago? So it's been great working with you. We've appreciated all of your insights, your attention to detail, and we're very happy that you were able to pass some of that knowledge on to Sandy Dawson, so that we know we will continue to be extremely well served by Pullman. But thank you very much for your years of service.
You're very welcome, Jeanette. It's really been a pleasure working with you and with all the staff and board members. I think Julie may be the one who has been with us the longest.
Can't believe it. Congratulations, Judith.
Thank you. And, I joke that, when I started at age 6 in the 80s, so it's been a wonderful experience and a fun ride. And I know you will be in great hands working with Sandy and the rest of the Pullman team.
Oh, congratulations again, Judith. And thank you very much for all your years of service. even before we worked together with Chifa, our time, those decades that we worked together prior to that. So yes, your service has been extremely valuable, as Jeanette so adequate, you know, so appropriately said. So thank you again.
Congratulations, Judith. I would just want to echo everything that Jeanette said, but further, just, you know, thank you so much for the expertise and the, you know, institutional memory that you brought to the table, but just for your knowledge, your background, your patience with particularly my questions over the years. You've been a wonderful resource to Chesla, and I think yes, we'll be in good hands going forward with Sandy, but you will certainly be missed. So thank you very much.
Very kind of you, Peter. Thank you. And I will be around through the end of the calendar year.
Oh, that's great. So we'll have time to get together yet soon.
Good to know. Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion?
Andrew, so move.
Thank you, Andrew. Is there a second? I'm happy to second it. Is there any discussion regarding adjournment? Hearing none, all those in favor of adjourning, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. We are adjourned.